Iowa everywhere.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Spring is here. It's time to start thinking about family fun in the outdoors. This is Chris Williams promoting my good friends at Plaza RV in Bondurant. I've now bought two travel trailers from this locally owned company in the past 5 years. It's completely changed my family's life. We love spending time in the outdoors, tailgating, and most of all, being together. Camping has been an awesome escape for us, and I would encourage you to think about it as well. Head over to their lot in Bondurant. They have motorhomes, travel trailers, truck trailers, fifth wheels, and more. Check them out today at PlazaRV.com. They're 100% locally owned. Tell them that Chris Williams sent you.
We recommend listening to the CW Pod with a glass of Steeple Ridge Bourbon. Grown, distilled, well-rested, and bottled in Erling, Iowa. Now from the Channel Seed Studios, this is the CW Pod, fueled by Steeple Ridge.
All right, I got Jason Luch with me today from Mabas Family Stables. I'm going to give you a bottle of Steeple Ridge to take down there to all those snobs in Kentucky.
Oh, you're show this, this is better than the Woodford.
Show them what a real what a real bourbon is like right here. As Jason's off to the Kentucky Derby on Tuesday. I don't know exactly when we're going to post this, but I always find these fascinating. It was like a luxury to do one a few years ago, and now you guys are in the Derby every year, it seems like. So we're gonna try and like peel off layers of the onion here, because yeah. I'm more into like the business of it, and like it's fun to watch the race and watch your horses and root for them and all that stuff. But like this turned into like, I remember the first year you're a part of this, you're like a part of this group. And then it seems
2010, yes.
Yeah, Patio Prado.
Yep.
And then it was like you got addicted to it.
Yep.
And now we've got like gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've got like gear and
the
like
first couple of years we didn't know what the heck we were doing. We went down there and we kind of stuck out. We didn't have any of our gear and everyone else's gear down there, and now we know what to do. And it's been a great accomplishment for our stable, no doubt about it.
I think. So was this like the goal, or like to be in the race? I mean, you're not in it every year. There'll be a down year. You're absolutely. Like a pro franchise. But think you would get to this point this fast?
That was always our goal, is to get to the Kentucky Derby. Dennis came to me and said in 2013, we're going to start going to sales in Lexington, Kentucky in September. I'd like to buy 10 to 20 colts every year with the goal to get to the Kentucky Derby. Now, that seems easy to think about and talk about, but you're talking about 20,000 foals born every year, and you're one of 20 going in the starting gate. The odds aren't really in your favor. So, you know, if I would be lying if I said that we were going to do this every year, to make it, you know, once is a huge accomplishment. And to think that this is our eighth or ninth horse that's been entered in the starting gate of the Kentucky Derby. It's just been an unbelievable accomplishment, and very humbled and thankful for the opportunity.
We've got Catching Freedom. This horse right now is 8-1. And you drew the 4 spot over the weekend. Why are we doing the post draw on Saturday now?
Good question. It was for the owners. It's not. We're not in favor of that. It makes for a long week, so we elected just to have a little family draw party on Saturday over to our house and had a good time with the family. And usually they have it on Monday or Tuesday when you can kind of get down.
Well, we usually have office parties.
Yeah,
like we usually have it up, and like it's like a big deal.
Exactly, and it's all about the money. I think they try to get more people down there, and now I think they can have more betting going on for a longer period of time. And so, yeah, they did it Saturday. It was quite an, you know, it was quite an event. It looked beautiful on TV.
It's kind of like conference realignment and horse race.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's changing, right? Daily. So, no, but it was a nice event, and we watched from home, and then we'll head down on Tuesday, like you said, and start, you know, taking in all the activities that goes on with the week.
What is your favorite part of the week?
You know, the favorite part of the week for me is the week, actually. You know, getting to hang out with the different owners, the different trainers, jockeys, friends, family that all come down to the event. It's just a great week just to kind of unwind and enjoy the atmosphere, all the things that go along with it. Tuesday night, we have a trainer dinner. We have a couple of other parties that we attend, and just get to meet a lot of great people and see some old friends and family, and then really get just every day amps up a little more your excitement, your nervousness as we get closer to Saturday.
So Catching Freedom, this horse, last year we had the two, and the Psycho Mischief kind of snuck in at the end. It was, we didn't really expect it.
Right.
This horse, was this kind of one that you thought would get in, or, cause I know it won the big race. It was the same day Iowa State played Washington State in the NCAA tournament. Right. Like, when did you kind of think that this horse had a shot to be not only to get in the Derby, but be one of the favorites?
Yeah, he ran a good race back in February. Gave me a lot of confidence that he could take the next step. And when we entered the Louisiana Derby, you know, it was a very, very tough field. And we, you know, had confidence going the race. We had to finish in the top three to qualify for the Kentucky Derby. And so we started actually really poor. We went to the back of the pack, and I really didn't think we were going to get there. And he made a heck of a move on the far side and coming down the stretch. And it was an unbelievable race. And that really moved him up the ranks as the three-year-olds and going into the Kentucky Derby that said he's a legitimate player. He's got a big chance in the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, that was 6 weeks ago. It's been a long 6 weeks since then. You know, worrying about keeping him safe, happy, healthy. A lot of things can go wrong with these animals. So knock on wood, so far, everything's been really good. He's been training great. He's happy. He's healthy. And now we're almost there.
I'm anxious to, I want to ask about your evolution as like the GM. Cause I remember, man, I was in my 20s still. And I'd sit with you on Friday nights at Prairie. And it was fun. Like, I learned a lot about the sport then. And like where you were then, as far as your knowledge of this stuff.
Yeah,
it's where you are now.
It's come a long ways, to be honest with you.
Like, are you a horse guy now? Like, can you sit at the track and be like, that's
well, I feel like I'm a good horse guy. I run the stable that's, you know, we went to the sales and we've went to the Kentucky Derby, I think 8 or 9 years.
So now, I guess what I'm asking is, like, how much do you lean on your intuition now that you've been in it so much? And then like Dale Romans and like your guys, right? Like, you're the GM. How much do you lean on the assistant coaches and the,
a lot, I put a lot on those guys. I mean, they're there every day.
Yeah.
I'm here in Iowa. So, it's something that we communicate every day. I got three or four trainers throughout the United States that we use. Brad Cox is being the one for Catching Freedom. He's one of the best trainers in America. But, you know, each of them have their different styles. And so we try to fit the horses that fit their style, per se.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like this is a good air raid quarterback, or this guy be good wishbone guy.
This guy might be more of a development guy. So if we have a horse that's a little slower developing, we might send him to a different trainer than this trainer. In reality, we really don't know when we ship them from the farm. They're only 2 years old. We don't know how really good they're going to be at the time we ship them.
Mm-hmm.
We maybe have a little bit of, you know, thoughts about if they're going to be good or not. But really, you don't know until, you know, they start training up and running their first race if they have the capability of even ever getting this good.
And then some of them are like late bloomers,
absolutely,
right?
There's, you know, there's horses this year that have only ran twice, that are running in the Kentucky Derby three times. You know, they just maybe had one start and they were good, and then they went right into the stakes to try to qualify for the Kentucky Derby. Everyone does takes different paths to the Kentucky Derby. We've had, you know, good luck with our trainers, and you know, we just every horse is different, though, so you just got to, you know, treat them like humans. Every human's different, and you know, it's just a different philosophy, and it's all worked out for us.
So those horses that you mentioned that have run two races and they find themselves, are they the scary ones in a way?
They are scary because you don't really know how good they are. And really, they always say, you know, they're a little green still, and if they mature and we don't really know how good they could be, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So there's horses that ran, I think one of the horses has ran like 13 times. I think we've ran 5 or 6 times. There's horses that ran 3 times. So they have more upside probably because we don't know exactly how good they can be. Whereas like a horse that's ran 13 or 14 times, you kind of know where what his luck game is, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you can really, it's just no different than basketball. You can scout them, right? You can scout them and see what they're good at, what they're bad at. Well, if you've only seen a guy play twice, you really don't know how good he really could be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, keep practicing and getting better and better.
That's all fascinating. I never would have pinned the, you put the trainer with a certain type of horse. Oh, so when did Cox come along? Because you guys were with Romans pretty exclusively early on, right?
Yeah, we use Kelly Von Himmel here at Prairie Meadows, and then he also gets some other horses. And then when we first started the program, Dale had Patio Prado horse in 2010,
yep.
And we developed the relationship with him. And then we also, for the first, I'd say when we started, I think our first qualifier was 2014, was Brody's Cause. We send our horses to Dale, and as you get bigger and you have more horses, you don't want all your horses to go to one barn because they start running against each other.
Oh,
so and if we spread them out, like if I send some to Dale, he runs it down in Florida in the winter. Whereas if I send them to Brad, he runs at Arkansas and Fairgrounds in Louisiana. So it spreads them out, gives them more opportunity to qualify in different races.
Yeah, because you don't want your guys beating each other.
Exactly. So we elected to spread out a little bit. Brad Cox is one of the up-and-coming best trainers, future Hall of Famer. He's won the Kentucky Oaks. He's won the Kentucky Derby. So we elected to send him some of our horses, and it's been a really good fit for us. You know, this will be our, I think, our third horse that's qualified for the Derby with him, and couldn't be more happy.
Where are we at now as far as years that you've been there?
I think this is
seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I had in my head.
Yeah. 7 years. Yeah. Seventh time, 9 horses, I think, or something like that. So yeah, it's a fascinating event. It's an exciting time. This is probably one of the few times that, you know, we've been qualified many times and we might be 40, 50, 60 to one, which, you know, that you're going to the race, you probably don't have a great shot to win, but, you're in it and you're excited still. Right. So, this last year, we went in the starting gate, and Angel Empire was the morning. He was the favorite as they were loading into the gate of the Kentucky Derby. So that was quite an excitement, quite a thrill, and ran a bang of up race. Couldn't have been more proud of him. He ended up finishing third, getting the beat by a length and a half. But I always tell people that I always wanted, when we run in the Kentucky Derby, I want to know what it feels like to think you're going to win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he was coming down the stretch last year, I got that like blackout feeling. Oh my God, he's going to get there. This is going to be crazy. He might win this thing. What are we going to do? I mean, it just, all these things go through your head, and he came up just short. But, mixed emotions. You were sad because you were so close, but you're so happy that you finished third in the Kentucky Derby. So excited, so happy for the horse, so happy for our stable, our family. It was a great, great week. And now you try to build on it, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to jinx you, but it's kind of like in life, like you got to usually a setback or two before you strike it.
Yeah.
If this feels like a good year, and I don't know enough about the field. You know way more about this than me, but I mean, I'm looking at like the post draws for the other favorites, and you guys are, you're not perfect at coming out of number 4. We should probably explain that to first time listeners, what that means. But I mean, where would your horse Catching Freedom be, I guess? So you drew the 4 posts. Sierra Leone is 3-1 at number 2.
Right.
The two horse. And yep. Then clear out at 17 is Fierceness.
Yeah.
Which is like the blue chip horse, right? Like that's the,
he's a stud. Yeah.
That's the favorite going into this thing. How much do these post draws impact the odds, and how do you, when I'm looking at the favorites, you guys have the best one.
Yeah. We're the third morning line favorite going in the race. So I think a lot of those lines are predetermined before the post draw even happens.
Oh, so this isn't impacting, this isn't from that.
No, not okay, really. And okay. So really what happens is, I used to be all freaked out about the post, like, oh, if we drew 1 or 20 or
it's over,
you know, it's over. And then, you know, you go back and look at the history, and there's horses that have won from the one hole. And I just really realized that it's out of my control. And so whatever happens, happens. And reality is, if you think you might have a great post, and when those gates open, you don't have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They could bang you. They could come over on top of you. So you just got to hope that.
And you had the horse, the one there that got really nervous.
Yeah.
Before, you can't control that.
Can't control that. So there's so many things that can happen. They're out of our control. We don't know. We hope we drew. We know that we didn't really want 1 or 20 or 2 or 19. So this is in the middle of kind of where we wanted. But we think that he's not a speed horse. When I say that, he's not going to go to the, when you see him come out of the gate, he's not going to be near the front. He's going to be mid-packed in at near the end of the crew. And so we just hope that he can get a clean trip and make his run on the backside and to come around for the final turn. We hope that rail opens up and he can come up it and make a big splash. But yeah, he's going to be a ways back. And I tell our listeners, just be patient, because that's what we're going to be doing. And about that, when they start turning for home, he's going to be making a big move, and hopefully it's good enough.
So the sport of horse racing in general, I feel like these kind of mystique type sports have really taken off in the last 10 years or so. Do you feel it? Like, to me, like the Kentucky Derby, I don't know if the sporting event the event seems bigger to me. Like, I'm talking with like social media influencers. Mm-hmm. It feels like there's more celebrities there now. Have you seen that growth?
Well, I just think a lot of it is because we're on social media now. Like back when we started in 2014.
Well, nobody even knew that you guys were even doing this unless they.
And now the horse can't walk out of the barn without someone spending a picture or tweeting about it. I mean, we see there's so much exposure now, which is great for our sport. It's great for the owners of fans. We see every workout now. We see them train every morning on Twitter, or they have shows that show it later on YouTube. I mean, so the sport is getting so much more coverage because of social media. And that's really a good thing. You know, this is the 150th Kentucky Derby. So this year is really spectacle. It's a big deal. The coverage has been out. It's just been crazy. And Churchill Downs just put $200 million in their facility. Got a brand new paddock. The facility is just amazing. So everything's amping up just to be an unbelievable atmosphere. 180,000 people.
What's the weather looking like? You looked ahead?
I look and it changes about every hour right now.
I got you.
It's one day it's no rain. The next day it's 40%. But reality is that it's kind of like the Drake relays. You can count on some rain at some point during the weekend and just hope that we get a fair and safe track on.
Does this horse, we just want it to be nice out?
We ran the slot before. He ran really good in the slot, but I prefer a dry track. It'd just be better for him, I think.
I think the best part of this, if I ever, some year I'll hopefully go down and cover one of these things. But I think the best time would be like in the mornings.
It is. It's so fun.
There's just nobody else around.
Well, there's a lot of people around, actually.
Are there?
Yeah.
I imagine like the sun's rising. Yeah. You have a beautiful horse galloping in the distance.
Yeah, no, that's
and there's dewy grass.
That's what you see on the videos, but
that's not the case.
Of course, you would probably show up. You wouldn't be. That happens like when the sun's coming up.
I would be hungover.
Yeah, you wouldn't be there. So I'm not worried about you there. But when you would show up around 8 or 9 o'clock, you can guarantee that there's hundreds and thousands. Wow. People on the backside during the Derby week.
Derby week
because you know
the workers and
the social, the social media, all the Twitter, all those people that are doing that, they're all on the backside, the photographers, all the owners, the trainers, the help. I mean, there's just a lot of people on the backside, and that's what's fun for me, is because you get to meet new people, you get to talk to people you know, the other owners. It's just a great atmosphere.
Have we seen, as your sport seen, an uptick in betting and gambling on the event?
I was just, it's funny you asked. We just had a lunch here, and I looked at how much money was bet on last year's Kentucky Derby. I think it was $188 million, which is
wild.
Insane.
Yeah. And
so it just shows you the popularity of what the Kentucky Derby is. I mean, that's a lot of casual bettors, a lot of people that don't even watch horse racing. This is the weekend they watch horse racing, is the Kentucky Derby. I mean, everyone knows what the Kentucky Derby is. If you're going to watch horse racing or know anything about horse racing, this is the weekend that you're going to participate.
If give some gambling advice, not necessarily on this race, but if you're, a lot of people will go out to Prairie Meadows this weekend and do this. Like, absolutely. If you don't know what you're doing,
I would say just make it as simple as possible. Find a horse or a color or a jockey or an owner like All Ball Family Staples.
Yeah. And
just
we're ball betting on the four.
Yeah. Horse. So just basically, I would say just bet a simple win place show. Like, you know, that's a simple, easy bet. If he finishes first, second, or third, you know, you'll get paid. You know, if Right now, if he went off at 8-1, the win ticket would pay $18 and the show would pay maybe $6 or $8 depending on who comes in with him. But it's just a simple, easy way. Make it fun for everyone. And you know, you can do $10 across the board. You can do $2 across the board. It's just a simple, easy bet that's fun. And you can do it with a couple different horses. You take a long shot if you want and make it exciting. And, mm-hmm. But that's, you know, it's just, there's so many different exotic bets. But for the casual fan, I think it's just a simple win play show. Bet a little bit across $5 across the board and have a great time with it.
When you're a casual fan, mm-hmm. the trifectas and that can get really confusing.
Confusing and expensive.
Yeah. I learned that last year.
Yeah.
I was all amped up because you had two horses and I was out there at like 8 o'clock and I think I lost 200 pretty quickly.
Yeah. It goes quick. Yeah. It didn't take long. But I just think make it real simple and just bet across the board on a horse. Pick a couple of them. And if you hit one of them, you'll get paid.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you have any other stable horses that we're looking to the Preakness and then Belmont or Freedom going to be it? This
will be it for the Triple Crown. We have some horses that are still coming along and maybe we'll late blossoms. But for as far as the 3-year olds, you know, the Triple Crown is all 3-year olds.
Yep.
This is our 3-year old this year. And I've got asked that question. It's funny. I get asked that. I don't know how many people have come up to me this year and say, you only got one in the Derby this year? It's like, yes, I only have one in the Derby. And it's just, it's, you know, some people just don't get it. They don't understand how hard it is to get in the Kentucky Derby last year.
Well, that's what's like, you guys are doing it consistently. Yeah. That's what's so impressive.
Last year was like something that will never happen again to have three horses from one ownership in the Kentucky
Derby. I forgot you had three.
Yeah. So we ended up with three when Cyclone got in.
Yeah. Cyclone got in at the end because that other horse dropped out.
Yeah. So we had Angel Empire, Jace's Road, and Cyclone Mischief. And, to have three of the 20 was something that's, you know, it won't be done again in our lifetime probably, but it was a crazy day. It was fun. And we're just, I mean, our goal when we go to the sale every year is if we buy 15 horses, man, we're just praying that we can get one mm-hmm. that can get to this level because it's so hard. It's really hard.
I know you like none of these horse racing people are like making a ton of money on these horses, right? Like it's like a labor of love. Where does the money come from? Is it selling is a Derby horse,
like if this whoever wins this race becomes a stallion, right?
Correct.
So that's where the money's made. You know, you're talking
because you got to feed these horses, you got
to they all cost the same every day. It doesn't matter if they're winning a $5,000 race or a $5 million race, they all get treated the same at the barn. They all get, it's about $100 a day charge for all from the trainer, and they're all the same. You don't get this much better treatment and pay more for a Derby horse. They all get treated the same.
So let's say Angel of Empire didn't win the Derby, mm-hmm. had a great bloodline, mm-hmm. had a great showing at the Derby. Mm-hmm. Is that a valuable horse?
He'll be a stallion when he retires. He won the grade one, if it's called grade one races, he won the grade one Arkansas Derby to qualify last year for the Kentucky Derby. So when we retire him, we'll make him a stallion. And, you know, we've had that's how we're still kind of in the business right now is we have a stallion named Not This Time. He's a top 5 stallion in the world right now.
I remember him.
Yeah. And so he's doing wonderful. His progeny are starting to really do well on the track. He had his 2 years ago, he had a horse get second in the Kentucky Derby named Epicenter. So that's really keeping us in the game because we own half of him still. And he's at TaylorMade Farms in Lexington. And that's another part of the business that I never dreamed we'd be participating in, but it's awesome. Fun.
That's the interesting part to me. It's like the race is one thing and that's what everybody sees, but it lasts 2 minutes.
Exactly.
It reminds me a little bit like auto racing. It's like these,
just a lot shorter, right?
Yeah. Well, but then in auto racing, it's like you have the driver, which is important. But a really good driver and a terrible car doesn't really. So if you have like a great trainer with a terrible bloodline horse, There's only so much Brad Cox can do with that guy.
Exactly right.
How much of it is, there's probably...
Well, that's when we're...
Bloodline, trainer.
That's where we're going on. Is like when we go to the sale in September, we're going to the book one and two where the pedigrees are the best in the world. Like we're going to the McDonald's All-American 5-stars, 4-stars with pedigree. Sometimes, as you know, as Iowa State fans have all found out, the
sometimes
McDonald's,
there's a bust.
Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't, right? And sometimes you find those needles in the haystack of those 2-star, 3-star guys that we buy those kind of horses too. And they, Angel Empire was the cheapest horse we've ever bought at the sale, and that's he gets third in the Kentucky Derby.
Have a great bloodline.
It was from a newer stallion, and so he hadn't been proven yet.
Understood.
And so that's what's so neat about this game is. Every year you hear about these stories. I'll have another who won the Kentucky Derby, I don't know, 8 years ago or something. He was purchased for $12,000. And you got a horse like Sierra Leone this year that's the second favorite. He was purchased for $2.3 million. So it's just amazing how all different levels of horses that you buy can get to the Kentucky Derby. We really, really don't know. No different than when you guys are out recruiting. You think you're buying a 5-star of getting up, buying a 5. Well, you are kind of
anymore.
Yeah, you are now.
Yeah, you can say it now.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah. And they pan out. And sometimes you get a guy that you had no clue that he was this good. And he turns out to be an All-American. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, and I'm really interested in the gambling aspect of it too, because so like what's crazy to a novice is these horses are from all over the place. And they've got this whole qualifying system, but some horses don't race against the same competition
as
other horses. And then you've got the bloodline thing, and then you've got the trainer. Like, what does the jockey play into it? Like, right? Like, so if I'm the odds maker, how do I come up with these? This seems monumental task.
Yeah, the every race is kind of given a number for like how great.
So if you win a bad race, it's not as valuable.
Yeah, but let's say it's called buyer speed figures, like they call them, and like Fierceness ran 115 buyer speed figure last race. It's unheard of in a prep race. He won so easily. Most horses are running anywhere from 90 to 100, and he's towering on the field right now. And so the jockeys that really
He's LeBron.
Yeah, he is LeBron. Is he beatable? Yes. We're going to need some help and some luck and hopefully
just getting his head a little bit. Yeah,
that's the goal.
Yeah. You know,
he hasn't been tested really. He has not been tested. He hasn't looked eyeball to eyeball from their horse. So there's a lot of factors. And you got to remember there's 160,000 people there. You don't know how these people are going to how these horses react in front of this big crowds and atmosphere. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that go into that are out of our control.
Can you train them for that?
You can a little bit, but most races that they run in as in the preps are 20,000 to 30,000, 40,000 people, right?
Yeah.
So what you do is you take them every morning over and you stand them in the gate, but you can't simulate the crowd noise.
Ashley is my wife. She swears by socializing dogs. So before they're like 12 weeks, take them to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Take them anywhere so they can see all different types of people. And then do you do that with horses?
So not to that degree, but what we do is we take them to the gate. We take them to the paddock and school all the time, different times of the day. We'll do it in the morning. We'll do it during live racing. Catching Freedom, we'll school in the paddock tomorrow and then Thursday during live racing, just to kind of get the atmosphere so he knows what to expect. And you really can't, envision 140,000. It's hard to school for something like that. But you just hopefully your horse has a maturity about him and he's level headed, and a lot of horses, believe it or not, they can't handle it, and you just hope it's not yours.
Is that what happened? What horses of yours like freaked out before it got into the gate that one year?
Yeah, that was back in 2015, I believe.
Is that what happened to that horse? It just got scared,
Get spooked, somebody makes they hear something or see something in the crowd and they just react to it. It just they're like humans. I mean, they just.
They all have personalities.
Exactly. They all have personalities, react different to crowds. And some people can handle the pressure, as you know, and some people can't, right? And just like, in basketball, you got those guys that love the pressure and you got guys that say, I want no part of the basketball. It's the same with horses.
So these horses, in your opinion, they know when they get in there and they're looking up, this is different.
Yeah.
Like this is a bigger race.
Yeah, they know. Yeah, they know.
Because I guess like in my mind, I would have thought, they just run.
No, they know. Like, they know the atmosphere. They know. They know. how many times they're going over the paddock during the week, they know that something big's coming. You know, they don't really know what day it is or anything like that, obviously, but they know it's coming, the much schooling as they get. And they also can pick up on the crowds on the backside. Like normally during the week, there's no one on the backside. This week, last week,
juice them up?
It just gets them excited, you know, and you really got to be careful not to get them too amped up. And, you know, because they can react if they get spooked. And so you got to be careful a little bit. But no, they know it's game day's coming soon.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Okay. So Catching Freedom, again, the four horse in the Kentucky Derby. Abaugh Family Stables owns it. We'll all be rooting for it. Let's last thing with you, Jason, here's the GM. You kind of gave us a brief look at this earlier in the show. But an ideal race for Catching Freedom, we're just going to hang loose, not get too far back, and then hit the gas.
Yeah, so hopefully he breaks somewhat sharp, puts himself in the race. I would love to see him being like, there's going to be a pack of five or six that go to try to get to the lead. Ideally, I would like to be right behind them, you know, 5 to 8, 10 lengths back behind that the leaders, because it's going to be a wicked pace. I mean, it could be really fast fractions that they go out in. And if we get too close to that, we'll be fried up. My goal is to be about 10, probably, you know, 8 to 10 lengths back, like I said, and just stay calm on the backside, stay in that same spot, hopefully stay close to the rail as possible so we can save some ground. And then when we come from home, let's roll, and hopefully that rail opens up, or he finds a path that's open and he can explode, because he's bred to go a mile and a quarter. He his last race was incredible. He made a huge move, and he's going to have to do something similar to that Saturday.
You mentioned this fierceness horse. How much do you let another horse dictate your race?
Nah, I don't. We don't. We got to run our race. You know, we got to run our race. And fierceness is, you know, he's the best 3-year-old in the country right now. He's the big favorite. He's got Mike Rapoli as his owner, Todd Pletcher, Hall of Fame trainer. And now he's got Tom Brady on his team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Tom Brady's coming in with he's partnering up with Mike Rapoli in some business deals. So Tom Brady and the whole clan will be there cheering him on. So
let's kick their ass.
Exactly. So
do you have Romo coming?
Todd, I wish. Tom's got enough freaking jewelry. He doesn't need another trophy in front of him, does he?
What do you do with the trophy if we get it? He's put it over there at the Talons, maybe?
Probably the All-Ball headquarters is where we'll have it. I'd love to bring it home on Sunday, though. That'd be something that would be an amazing accomplishment for our stable, for our family, for the state of Iowa, to know that someone from little town Iowa can go win the Kentucky Derby. It'd be amazing.
You guys tell me the story real quick, the Tony Romo story. So you met Tony Romo like a...
Yeah, our first Kentucky Derby, 2014. We're staying at the Galt House in...
best hotel I've ever stayed in.
Yeah, it's neat. How,
and right down, there on the river?
Yep, right there in downtown Louisville area. And the bellman seeing that I had a bunch of cowboy gear on, he's like, no, that's our silks, that's our stable.
Yeah.
I diagrammed after that. I'm a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. He goes, hey, you know, Tony Romo's staying here. I go, you gotta be kidding me. And that was when he was in him and Jason Witten were together.
And you're a nutty Cyclone fan or cowboy.
Yeah. I'm a
Cyclone too.
But yeah. Diehard cowboy fan. That's why our silks are the star. Right. And so I said, you gotta be kidding me. I said, can you just hand him a note and say, hey, can you, I'd love for you to walk over on the walkover. You know, the walkover is something I wish every person could experience. It's the most unbelievable, walking in front of 150,000 people with your horse, the excitement, people yelling at you. It's just so cool. I said, can you just ask me if you do it? And come to find out, he was there with another owner, so he declined. But
brutal.
Yeah, but it was neat. I got to talk to him, and he was really cool. He sent me a nice message wishing us luck. And
he's going to wish that he would have taken you up on that. Come Sunday.
Yeah. No, that was a neat story, and it was fun meeting him and Witten, but yeah, it just didn't work out.
No, I like it. We don't need the flash of Tom Brady.
No, we're going to beat him.
Blue Collar, Iowa.
That's right.
Stable.
That's where we're at.
Right here. All right. Well, best of luck, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today. It's going to be exciting, and I hope the state of Iowa gets behind it, and we could use a little extra cheering and see if we can get this done.
Well, I hope so too. It'd be a lot of fun, and it's been a fun journey to follow, because again, I'll never forget that first year. It was like, oh, this is wild.
Yeah. And I think this time. It's
why are you told me you didn't think that it would ever happen again?
Yeah. That's why I always say every year, like every year I go, I say, hey, I'm going to enjoy this like nothing other, because you don't know when you're going to be back. Right.
Yeah.
And so this is hard. It's a hard sport, and we're extremely excited and humbled, and you know, we hope to be back, but you just never know. So we're going to go give it our best shot and hope it's good enough. And we'll see what happens.
I'll keep you guys updated on Twitter throughout the weekend too. I usually, about Wednesday, I'll be locked into this and watching every workout and all that stuff.
You know, you guys all know C-Dub's a tremendous handicapper, all aspects. Elite. So, yeah, elite. So I'm sure, man, you guys will take his action.
Do not. Last year, I'm not kidding you. I went to Prairie with $200 for the race. The day before, I bought all the books. I did all my studying. I lost every bet last year. I didn't hit one.
Well, is that true with horse racing or all of sports?
But then you know this story. It was the year, like 5-6 years ago, where the dead last horse won.
Yeah.
It was the last. It was like a 60.
Rich Strike.
Yeah, I hit that.
Yeah.
To win. I won like thousands of dollars on that, on like a $10 bet. It was exactly. Insane.
Yep. Sometimes it pays to bet the long shots.
I mean, I had you no clue. Know. Like, I'm not claiming to be smart here. Just
that's what the Kentucky Derby is about, yeah, for the public. Just go have a good time. I do
enjoy the aspect of getting the preview book and reading about all these like owners. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's really because there's a little bit like of a Formula One feel to it to me. Are you familiar with Formula One at all? Where it's just like, I think I'm interested in it because it's like, I know I'm never probably going to be in a Mercedes garage. Right. Yeah. Like, I know my place in the world.
Yeah.
And like you're reading about all these, and it's just all these like tentacles of this sport. And it's just really, it's cool. Enjoy it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Get the win
soon.
We'll crack open one of these bottles of Steeple Ridge on Sunday.
I'll let my Woodford guys know that. Thank you.
Well, you need to introduce them to our buddy, Pat Hoffman. Pat would love to go down there and meet those folk down at Woodford Reserve. Thanks to our friends at Channel Seed here in the Channel Seed Studios. Jason Luch, Abba Family Stables, Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday. We'll all be rooting for Catching Freedom coming out of the four spot. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching here on Iowa Everywhere.
Iowa Everywhere.